to another episode of Magic the Prothering.
Yes, as all of our Magic the Prothering episodes are, this is episode 4 of Magic the Prothering.
Always episode 4, always great.
And it is brought to you by you, the patrons. Thank you so much for everyone who supports the podcast on Patreon. It means the world to us and it keeps the show going.
We also have a big thank you to our sponsor, Card Kingdom. Go to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. Check out their singles, anything basically you could ever want in your life. I'm going to
make that related.
Claim. Oh, no, I was just in
just
general.
Everything.
Just
all
everything.
Right. Well, there you have it. From Maria, everything you need in your life, magic related or otherwise.
Cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. And on today's episode, we are welcoming a fellow Midwesterner.
That's right. There are so few of them because so much of the Midwest is a vast snow desert.
That's so harsh.
Yeah, well, I mean it.
Wow, Megan,
you know what?
Brutal.
I've had a 45-minute commute the last 2 days. I'm over it.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
They're terrible.
It's been snowing up a storm here. You could call it a snowstorm. TM, I copyright that. Nobody else can take it.
No one has ever said it before.
Okay.
So we have on the show today Matt Severa. Welcome, Matt.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being on.
Sure.
You are not just a Midwesterner. You are from Madison, Wisconsin, correct?
Yep.
And have you always called Madison and Wisconsin home, or how long have you been living there?
Basically my whole life.
Awesome.
Yeah, so yes.
So yes.
Midwesterner dyed in the wool, as we say. But we don't raise sheep, though. We raise cheese. I don't know what we raise here.
Yeah. I mean, Wisconsin, as far as I know, you can confirm this, like cheese and beer is what you guys grow?
Cheese and beer, brats, yep.
Perfect.
Sounds like a paradise.
Yeah.
So Matt is an amazing player. He's finished in the top 8 of 6 Grand Prix, a couple of team events, and Grand Prix Denver this year. He won 3 different Grand Prix, which is insane.
There aren't that many team limited events that happen every year. And this year, two of them, you won. That's impressive.
I hope you have, like, are you making a monopoly on team limited events?
I mean, we're gonna try. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yep.
So the way we usually start is by asking people just kind of the basics. How did you get involved in Magic? How did your career start?
So I started playing when I was 14. My dad is a pretty big board gamer. And one day he came home with some revised starter decks and, you know, I was like, this is great. Let's play a whole bunch.
What was a revised starter deck like back then?
Well, it was mostly garbage cards. yeah, those sets, you know, they had a problem where maybe 10% of the cards were pretty decent and the rest were not good. But I couldn't tell back then, so that was fine.
So that's quite a long time ago. Have you played consistently since then? Have you been kind of like there have times when your interest has been peaked and valued? How's it been? For sure.
Yeah. I've been playing, you know, I took some breaks. I took one right after college and, you know, I took a few breaks to like get my career going and become a real person.
Megan's still waiting. I'm still waiting to become
a
real person.
We're still waiting on
that. I'm just a puppet that an old man carved from a block of wood.
Creepy. I always wondered what it was that was slightly strange about you.
Yeah.
So your most recent stint, when did that start? Like that led up to this amazing year that you've had?
Well, I started playing competitively again in probably 2010, I want to say, maybe 2009. And I was going to a lot of PTQs and not much was happening. And then I queued for, PT Honolulu, so that would have been Kanza Tarkir a few years ago. And that's about the time I decided that since it had taken me so long to get back on the PT, I was really going to try to make the most of it. And that's when I started playing, you know, on weekdays too.
Yeah, that's kind of the big shift that you hear about when people transition from, oh, I'm going to F&M or I'm heading down to the shop on a weekend to I'm going to make a serious commitment and I'm going to play during the week. But right. You have a full-time job as a software developer. And so how do you make that jive kind of with your Magic career, especially now that it's really starting to take off?
Well, I mean, it's kind of tough to balance, but, you know, generally... it helps to have a wife that's very understanding. she was with me for a long time when I was struggling at the PTQ level, and so she knows how much it means to me that when I started doing well. So I try to make the most time that I can for my non-magic life when there aren't events. So there's lapses in events, and then for when PTs come around, I'm busier then.
So I want to go back for a second. You mentioned that you had been playing PTQs for a while, and then you finally qualified for Pro Tour Cons of Tarkir. Do you mm-hmm. feel like there was something that kind of like switched on for you that helped you like finally win a PTQ, or was it just like the repetition of playing a lot of them?
Well, I mean, I had... I think I had just been, well, I'd been making top eights, pretty frequently, but I think I've just been getting, nervous. Honestly, my play had suffered in top eights. And, I think I just ran hot that PTQ. I mean, that was part of it, and I had been on the PT before that, but it had just been so long. I think it had been like 7 years or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you mentioned getting nervous. Do you feel like is there something that you've done that has helped you be less nervous? Or at this point, is it just like now you've been playing enough GPs and enough PTs that it's gone away?
Right. Well, I mean, so there's just so much less pressure when you're queued for multiple PTs in a row, because, if the goal is to stay on the PT and you're trying to get on the PT in the first place, you essentially have to win basically two tournaments to do that nowadays, right? Or top eight a GP. So you eventually have a couple matches where there's just so much pressure, like your entire, essentially like PT career is on the line on that match. And now it's just not the same if you got invites lined up. Now it's just all about having like consistent finishes. And I think that takes a lot of pressure off.
Yeah, definitely. Once you're on the train, it feels a lot better than chasing, trying to run up and catch it and jump on like a hobo with a bindle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, it's a lot harder to queue, I think, than to stay queued.
When we go to PPTQs in the area, Megan, and I'm sure people who are listening out there, you kind of see the same people every mm-hmm. time who are trying to, make it to the PTQ or whatever. And that was probably you for a long time going to these and kind of grinding out and trying to do well. Do you feel different? Like, do people look at you differently when you go down to the LGS nowadays now that you've made the Pro Tour?
I mean, people congratulate me and everything, but I don't think so. Most of those people are still, my friends that I hang out with, and I don't know.
Speaking of all these people that you hang out with and everything, Madison is kind of, in a way, it's a weird kind of mecca for Magic players in the U.S. It's like where so much talent is concentrated for some reason. Did you realize that when you were starting to learn, or is it something that you came to know over time?
I mean, I didn't really realize it or appreciate it at the time, because, when I met most of the Madison regulars, or a lot of Madison regulars, I started meeting them when I was maybe 15, and it just was what it was. Those were the people that were playing Magic. And now, thinking back on it, I just am incredibly lucky to have been in a place like Madison, right? Just because there's just like so much talent here, it just helps everybody become better.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing we hear consistently, too, is that the way to get better is to play people who are better than you. So my question is just kind of like, is Madison, because of all the talented people there or whatever, does it just have consistently a lot of different Magic events going on? Like, you hear about draft weekend, where after the new set's out, everybody just gets together and just does a draft camp and drafts all weekend, that sort of thing. Do you find that there's consistently events happening like that in Madison that people are using to kind of up their skill?
Yeah. I mean, there's just like a solid community of people here that just want to prep for events. I mean, draft weekend's obviously pretty huge. But, we've just always been really big on drafting in particular. So there's always drafts.
sounds like a beer, cheese. What was the other thing?
Brats.
Brats and drafts.
And drafts.
Sounds yep. pretty good.
The four Wisconsin staples. So with so many people and so much play going on there, is there anyone in Madison that's been, or in the wider Magic community, that you feel has been particularly inspiring or integral to your development?
Well, I mean, working with Sam and Justin and Adrian Sullivan, you know, they're just great players. Ben Rasmussen's contributed a lot. I mean, all those guys are hardworking in their own way. And there's, you know, some grinders too that I hang out with that are just like really inspiring, that just like buckle down and do the work.
Yeah. So winning three GPs in a year is no small shakes. How did you feel getting the first win, and then when the second one came in, and then when the third one came in? Was it kind of surreal at that point, or was it not because you had worked so hard for it? You were like, yeah, I had this coming in a way, you know?
I definitely don't feel like I had it coming in a way. I mean, it's nice when hard work pays off, but I mean, I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't running hot. You know, for DC, I was pretty much kind of getting really frustrated with GP finishes. I'd just been putting so much time into it, and I hadn't been getting a lot out. You know, we teamed with Mike Roan. Justin and I teamed with Mike Roan for that one, and he's basically unstoppable at team GPs. So when we won, it was like, oh, of course, you're teaming with Mike. When we won the next one, you know, I felt that we put in a lot of work on that, and we really understood the format. So
what does that mean to put in a lot of work and really understand the format? Do you have a system that you go through, or is it just grinding out a lot of games?
We have a system. So basically, you know, we'll start maybe a couple weeks before for like a limited GP. And I think that Team Limited is such that decks just, you know, the decks are so powerful that they can often be, there's often like almost a metagame. They kind of break down into popular archetypes, and you can get a feel for what beats what and what most teams are, or what a lot of teams are likely to make. And there's definitely traps that a lot of, you know, like you can fall into. So basically our whole goal is just to try to figure out as much of that as possible. And then, you know, also just build a lot of decks with the three people that are, you know, that are on your team. And so when you're building your deck the day of, we kind of have it down to a process.
Well, that's crazy. Like thinking, what are people likely to build and what will be that? That's like a whole nother level.
Yeah. I mean, it helps to have Justin on your team. He's, you know, he doesn't mess around. He's got a lot of spreadsheets.
Sweet. So limited, speaking of limited, and Madison being known for limited plays, limited your favorite format? It's draft or sealed. Do you have a preference?
I guess I would prefer to draft, but you know, sealed's pretty great too.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite draft format of all time?
Well, I've got a couple. Triple Time Spiral, I was a huge fan of that. We did tons and tons and tons of those. Triple Champs gets a bad rap, but I liked it a lot. I thought that format was great.
Triple Champs?
Champions of Kamigawa. Oh. So yeah, sorry.
It's okay. We're not on that, like, we don't know them that personally, so we can't call them champs.
It's like drafting sports stores. I'm going to go in for Triple Champs.
Oh, I'm going to take Foot Locker.
Oh, bad choice.
Yeah, Megan. I feel like I really drafted that one poorly.
So there's a team GP coming up in a couple of months here in San Antonio.
That's going to be Team Modern.
Yes. And I just want to know you've played with a couple of different people on your teams. What's the way that you sort of approach building the decks and the deck building portion? I mean, you do practice a lot, like you said, but are there different roles that you take in the deck building portion? And does somebody, you know, have you designated somebody to have the final say?
We don't really have a formalized system for final say or anything, but I mean, it just helps that, we know each other pretty well. I think that just understanding like what people are prone to do is really important. So like, for instance, you know, if Sam and Justin and I are building decks, Sam is the one with all of the ideas. So he wants to try the goofy decks. And then Justin and I sort of play the role of just checking him in on it and just reminding, okay, hey, are you sure you want to do this? We think this might have this weakness, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we do a couple iterations and make sure that we try as many combinations as possible, just to see what everything looks like. And then, We usually have somebody watching the clock just to make sure, you know, we have enough time to put everything back and record it and do sideboards and all that stuff.
Somebody once said of you, he makes the fewest mistakes of anyone I know. This is a fellow Madison player. Do you, I mean, do you feel that, that you, your technical play is really solid?
No. I think that person was prone to exaggeration.
That's also a Midwestern quality, though, is like to be like, yeah, no, I won't accept this compliment. Yeah. So what for you do you think makes you a good Magic player? A lot of people play Magic. A lot of people put work into it. What do you think sets you apart and brought you to the point where you're able to win 3 GPs in a year?
Well, I mean, I just think that, like, I tend to obsess about games in particular. If I have an interest in it, I'm just kind of can't stop thinking about it. So that helps me a lot. I mean, you have to want to play all the time. And so, you know, if you're going to play all the time, you have to want to do it, and liking it is a huge plus. Also, you know, I think that lately in the past year or so, I've really started to focus on just my process instead of my results. And if I think that I'm doing good work and being efficient and productive, then I just think that's much more important than just having good finishes.
So I guess in what kind of way would you look back on a game that you had played? I personally have trouble, this might be my problem, remembering what happened in a game after I'm done with it. Megan's like, yeah, Maria, I think that's
temporary amnesia.
I don't know. I guess I read tournament reports sometimes and I'm like, how do people remember just like everything they did in a game? But I mean, what do you do to sit back down and go over what your play has been and assess it?
Well, I mean, that can definitely be really challenging. I think the hardest thing and the most important thing to do is just like understand, like, you know, where the game changed, like what happened. Maybe you felt that you were ahead for a long time and then you ended up losing and you're not sure, you just don't know how. And just like understand, like, which cards made the most impact. And I mean, I wish I had a better trick to do that, but it's just a matter of practice and just trying to think about each thing. Yeah.
No, I think that is,
it makes total
great
sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense and is great advice in terms of like just a framework of thinking about a game that just happened, because sometimes it can be a lot of information to try and process.
Yeah. And this is kind of funny. It reminded me of improv, which Megan and I do. And one of the things that I've heard said is latch on to the first weird thing that happens in a scene, which is not meaning I don't ignore something that's different or out of the ordinary. Why did they say it like that? Or why did that person say this? And then that's what's important about the scene. Yeah. And that kind of reminds me of what you just said. Like, what was the turning point of the game that either made me win or helped me lose? It's kind of interesting.
In scene work called the tilt.
The tilt, yes.
There you go. So do you think, so you've again, like we've talked about all of your GP wins. Do you think that you would still enjoy playing Magic if you weren't being competitive at it? Or is competition like a really important part of the enjoyment of the game for you?
Competition's great and everything, but I think the biggest reason I play is just the social aspect of the game. So as long as my friends, you know, if they just wanted to hang out in like Cube or Commander or just something like that, you know, I'd be perfectly happy doing that stuff. I mean, I think that's great. It just so happens that, the group of people I hang out with are competitive Magic players. So that's what we do.
Who's your commander?
I don't know. I had a pretty unfun deck with Arbiter for a while when I built the Commander deck. Grand Arbiter, I forget his actual name, but he's the 2/3 that makes all your opponent's spells more expensive and all yours cheaper.
Oh, that sounds like, yes, a joy to play,
yes,
with.
Yeah, I got complaints. I stopped.
There's always two types, yep, of Commander player, so they say.
Yep. Excuse me, I'd like to lodge a formal complaint.
Yeah, you have to submit a memo. So you've been playing since 1994. Magic has changed quite a bit over that time. What do you think that you've seen as the biggest way that it's changed?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just a lot more focused on permanence and just board presence rather than spells. I mean, the shorter way to say that would be that the creatures have gotten better and the spells have gotten a lot worse. You know, which I ultimately think that's for the better. I think there's a lot more trade-offs now than there used to be, because it used to be just like it was all about a lot of card advantage and other things like that, because, you know, the answers would so efficiently answer the threats.
That's what we've heard from a lot of people. Do you do you prefer kind of the style or the direction that Magic is going now, or the old way?
I think I prefer it now, but it's so hard to remember the old way. You know, I just played in a Legacy event, so I guess that's the closest to it. But, you know, even that. Yeah, no, I think I like it better now.
Yeah, I know that with the Vintage Super League, which has just been is starting up again right now, there have been a lot of Monastery Mentor decks, and even people have pointed out that like even in Vintage, like there's now it's this different. Deck yeah. that has that like kills you with this, you creatures. Know, with this 2/2 creature, and of course all of like the tokens and the prowess and everything. But like at that as kind of like, you know, a mark of how much the game has been changing.
Right, yep.
So we just got the full set of Aether Revolt spoiled, and since you like limited so much, how are you feeling about how Kaladesh went and about the new cards we've seen so far from Aether Revolt?
So I thought Kaladesh, I mean, just triple Kaladesh was a really fun set to draft. I mean, I really like the fact that you can draft these totally aggressive decks and they're good and viable, but you can also draft these like completely off the wall, like do whatever you want sort of in, you know, crazy decks, and they're also great. So that was an aspect I liked about it a lot. I'm hoping that continues, but I don't know. I feel like it, you know, it's certain to change a lot, so figuring that out is always the fun part.
And with a Pro Tour kind of looming on the horizon and an infinite combo that is already known, are you feeling excited about brewing for Standard, or are you like, oh God, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, no, I think the set looks sweet. I am a little bit afraid that the combo is going to be way too good. But, you know, it is what it is. I guess they can always ban it. They announced they're going to, you know, make a second potential banned and restricted announcement after the PT. So, you know, if it makes the set unfun at the PT, then we don't have to worry about it for that long.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
Speaking of the most recent banned and restricted announcement, like how do you feel about their kind of like, it's kind of like an aggressive approach to banning cards. Do you feel like this is going to make Standard a healthier format? Are you sad to see Smuggler's Copter go?
R.I.P.
Yeah, I mean, so I definitely agree with banning Emrakul. I mean, bans are pretty severe, and, you know, it's obviously no fun to have your investment just killed like that if you bought Emrakuls to play Standard, right? But it just led to a ton of repetitive game states, and it's also no fun to get mindslavered over and over and over again.
Yes.
And so, I mean, Wizards tends to do a pretty good job, I think. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on the Copter and Reflector Mage. Just if they feel that Copter would be too oppressive, then okay. It was in, 32 copies in the top 8 of the like first SCG event, like right after it came out. So yeah. That's probably a bad sign.
Yeah.
If you could change one thing about Magic, what would it be and why?
I think Magic Online.
Oh, that's man. Person Gosh. Number 3.
Have we ever gotten that response before?
I feel like we have. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Magic's pretty great. I don't really have a lot of complaints about it, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Supposing we could turn back the hands of time and say, you
as
know, you
Cher
would,
said.
Is that a Cher
if
song?
I could turn back time. If I could find some way. I'm not singing any more of it.
I have no idea what song you're talking about. Zero. You could be making that up
after this.
All right. So, and like you had never seen Magic in your life. It had never happened. Like, what do you think would be different? How did Magic change the course of your life?
Oh, wow. I mean, I think everything would be different. Like, I started playing when I was 14, and I'm 37 now. I mean, it just changed the way I think about basically everything, analyze everything. I mean, it just, it completely sculpted my social circle. I wouldn't know any, I mean, everybody I've met, you know, is I've met through magic in, you know, some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
So, it's just really hard to say. I think I would just be a drastically different person.
You'd probably be playing Settlers of Catan competitively.
Yeah, I'd probably be playing some game, that or some video game maybe, but yeah.
Do you have any favorite games other than Magic?
That's tough to say. I play a lot of Terra Mystica, which is a board game that's kind of complicated and, you know, skill testing. Play that with a pretty close group of friends. Yeah, other than that, Catchphrase is probably one of my favorite games, if you ever played that.
Yes! We love Catchphrase. We're
huge fans.
Is Terra Mystica, does it have a lot of little pieces that you have to set up?
Oh, yeah.
Just what it's called, I just felt like it did.
That sounds like it's like a big box, and it has just a ton of pieces.
And it's just like, everyone, it just feels nice, you know?
Yeah, it takes about 45 minutes to 45 minutes to teach somebody the rules, get a rough understanding. It's that type of game.
Yeah.
But it's almost like magic players enjoy, you know,
torture?
Like skill and no, you're right. Never mind.
So we always ask this question, and it's interesting to me because we usually get varied responses. But if you were going to tell somebody, this is my number one tip for you to up your game, what would you tell that person?
Well, you know, I guess I have to pick one.
Oh, no. I mean,
you can pick more than one.
Listen to you.
So it's a bunch of little things. Like the process over the results thing that I brought up, I think is just really important. That has helped me a lot and has taken a lot of stress out of my life, honestly. Not getting nervous when you play, obviously that's easier said than done, but I mean, if you just take it one match at a time, then, you know, just play the match to the best of your ability, and just don't beat yourself up if you lost. Just if you make a mistake, just learn from it and move on. Those are two things for sure. And just think about every little play. I know a problem that I had was I was just kind of playing on autopilot for like a large percentage of my games, and just kind of slow down and just ask yourself why you're doing even just real basic stuff sometimes can help.
Yeah, that's a good point. As somebody who goes on autopilot quite often, so, usually for the worse.
So do you have any goals for your 2017 Magic season?
Well, I would really love to top eight a PT. That would be great. And hitting platinum, I guess, is my official goal. If I could do that by way of top eighting a PT, I'd be very, very happy.
Have you ever been to Dublin before?
I have not.
Oh boy, it's gonna be great.
Is it supposed to be great in February?
February? Yeah, that I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean
it's just always nice, but
yeah, right? If you're inside drinking, you can't tell.
Yeah.
I'll be inside drinking.
The Irish way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on, put on your wool sweater and grab a pint. You're good to go.
You could
shear
sheep.
It can't be colder than Wisconsin.
No.
No.
No, it cannot. So, being from Madison, I just wanted to know, I was curious, is there a place where you think is a cool place to play? Like, if somebody was just happened to be driving through or visiting Madison, they're like, oh, I want to go where kind of the Madison group plays.
I mean, there's a couple of stores here. I usually go to the one downtown, which is called Netherworld Games, that used to be owned by Sam Black, and that's... you know, a couple of my good friends work there. And I'll be at the pre-release there this weekend.
Sweet.
Awesome. We mentioned other games briefly, but do you have any other hobbies outside of magic or gaming in general?
Well, lately, my wife and I have started going to this paint bar, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a bar.
You drink
where
you paint.
You drink and paint. Oh. Yeah, and so we've been painting pictures of magic cards.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, so, I mean... Well, she's been painting pictures of magic cards. I've been painting a bunch of smudges and attempting to copy her. She's, you know, I'm pretty bad, but she's great. And so those are always a big hit. And sometimes we go with another couple. So, yeah.
Is that what's hanging on the wall behind you?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got some on the wall. They're kind of just all over the place here at this point. We've been going out for the better part of a year.
I didn't know you could just go and paint whatever you wanted. I thought there was somebody there who was like, you're painting this polar bear. I don't care how you feel about it. Drink your wine.
Yeah, I mean, they do have that, but you, the one we go to, I mean, you just get a canvas and just paint whatever you feel like painting.
That's awesome.
Cool. I want to go there.
Yeah,
I would definitely recommend it.
Nice.
I would try and paint a black lotus or something, and it would just look terrible. But, yeah. You know, it'd be a good time.
That's why you keep going back.
You're right.
In theory, you get better. Or you drink and you get worse. Yeah. But it looks the same.
Or I could just become, you know, an abstract artist.
Yeah.
Doesn't take any talent, right?
Yes. I'm sure that so many people have always said that Jackson Pollock is a talentless hack. What is this?
What is this? I just wanted to say something that I found about you before you go. I looked at your Twitter, and this was like maybe the favorite tweet that I've ever seen. And it was, I'm in the semifinals of GP Denver, if anyone cares to watch. It's just so understated. Like, yeah.
I don't know. I don't use Twitter that much. I figured I would.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. I'm just remembering me tweeting when Megan and I made day two of Minneapolis. Like, it was like we won.
Do you know, at that point, he had already won two GPs that year.
That's
like,
right.
It was
no,
really,
no big
this
deal.
This is only a medium deal.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this episode number 4 of Magic the Pro-thering. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.